And I have four simple outlines for my message today. Very short. Creation, fall, redemption, and restoration. That's the story of God, the story of the world. So first, creation. Genesis 1:1, very first book, first chapter, first word says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So right off the bat, we know that this world did not just come by chance. That somebody planned it and somebody created it. Which means that there is a purpose behind this world. That means your life and my life has a purpose. It had a reason for beginning and it has a reason for ending. And God put a man and a woman in a perfect place called the Garden of Eden, or the paradise, and everything was as you and I would desire it to be. Genesis 1:31, and God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. So in the beginning, God created, and everything was perfect. So imagine a world without any worries about money, about how to pay the bill, or medical issues, or child care, or getting old and dying. Imagine if you don't have to worry about all those things. A perfect world. And in that world, in that paradise, it wasn't that all they did was sit around and eat fruit and bathe in the sun. No, they actually had work to do. I don't like to work. That doesn't sound like paradise to me. Well, except work was pleasurable back then, before sin was introduced. It was pleasure. It was pleasurable because as they worked, the land was not cursed yet, and so it produced abundantly. Do you remember doing something you're passionate about? Something that you like to do? Nobody has to tell you to do this. And as you're doing this, it's not only helping you, but it's helping the people around you. Maybe some of you are into gardening. Things grow great here in Washington State. Not so great in Virginia, where I used to live. But here, things grow, right? And then you not only get to feed your family, but you also get to share with your neighbors. And how joyful is that? Some of you are into building. You love building things. I'm not very good at building, but you like building stuff for your family, building stuff for your friends and neighbors, and you're not charging money. I mean, it gives you pleasure to do that, right? So we see some of that, but if we have to do it over and over and over and we have to do it to make a living, then it becomes a chore and it becomes boring. But in the beginning, it wasn't so. Work, they only did because it was pleasurable, it was producing abundantly, so everything was perfect in that way. Even work was perfect. Genesis 1:24, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over everything. So God put man and a woman, Adam and Eve, in charge of this world. And everything was beautiful, everything was perfect. However, when we look around us, we know that we don't live in a perfect world. We know that there's something wrong with this world. And it's not going to change whether you're in Hawaii or Europe somewhere, or Southeast Asia somewhere. Something is very wrong with this world. And the reason is because of something called sin, once again, that it has made this world fall and become what it should not be. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All, everyone has sinned. Everyone is selfish. Everyone only thinks about themselves. I do, you do. And because of that, we fell short of the standard of God. How did that happen? Well, man and a woman rebelled against God. You see, God only gave them one rule, if you remember your stories, right? God only gave them one rule, and that was, do not eat from this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There are 10,000 other trees in that Garden of Eden. You can eat from any tree you want, but this one tree, you're not to eat from. Now, why did God give them that rule? It was so that the man and the woman would trust him, to know that he knows what's best for them. However, you know the story. You know what they did. they ate from that one tree that they were told not to eat from. Why? Because they thought that they could do better than God. That they thought that they would be happier if they did it their way rather than God's way. And that is still what we do today, isn't it? Parents, you know, what is the fastest way to get a child to do something? Don't touch that. What will that child do? Touch it. Don't go into that room. What will that child do? Go into that room. Stay off the grass. What do we want to do? Step, right? A sinful nature. And Adam and Eve were like that. And so we fell. And so everything ugly, everything undesirable, cancer, disease, death, poverty, racism. So the land became cursed. And we became cursed as well. Do you remember the movie Beauty and the Beast? I love the animated version, and I also like the movie version with Emma Watson. We watched it 3 times. I got 2 girls, and so, excuse me, I'm not weird. I got 2 little girls, right? Anyway, so in the movie, it was the prince, right, who became the monster, the beast. When the prince fell, right, because of his pride, what happened to his castle? His castle fell with him, didn't it? It changed so that it has a resemblance of the people, but the skinny person became a broomstick. This kind of, you know, fat person became a clock, right? Some horrendous copies of their former self. And that is exactly what happened to the earth, right? When men and women, who are representative of us, fell, the earth fell with them. And that is why some of the land do not produce, and we have to work hard. And that is why you and I have to go work so hard, and we are not really producing, because the land or this earth has become cursed because of our sin. And so, not only sin is introduced, but death is also introduced. The end of us all, right? No matter how healthy we are, we'll all end up dying, and our bodies will decay. Just several months ago, a pastor friend of mine just lost his daughter of 14 years old. Just 14 years old. One day, gone through an accident. And that is the result of sin. And it will remain that way. Now, redemption, number 3. God could have left us in that state. It's our fault. Right? We brought it upon ourselves. God could have left us in that state for us to simply go into demise. However, he decided to do something about it. He decided to rescue us or redeem us from our sins. 1 Peter 3:18 says this, Christ or Jesus suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners, that's us, to bring you and me safely home to God. He suffered physical death and he was raised to life in the Spirit. So God sent his son, Jesus, to die the death that you and I deserved. And he took the punishment upon himself that we should have gotten. All of our lying, all of our cheating, all of our drunkenness, all of our addictions, cussing, hating, have been put upon Jesus. And he died, and all our sins died with him. And then he has given us the credit for dying on the sin to us. Because he lived a perfect life, didn't he? The only man who never sinned. And he gave the credit, the perfect score that he earned, and he gave it to us as a gift. Now, is it automatic? No. The Bible says to those, as many as who received him, to those who believed in his name, to them he gave them the right to become children of God. So all we do is not work hard, not be good, not come to church even. We would want you to come to church, but you don't have to. But we believe, we receive that he is the Son of God, that he died for me, so my sins are forgiven. So no longer I live for myself, I live now for God. And we become saved, we become God's children, we become redeemed. You see, Jesus is not only the Savior of our souls, but he is also the Savior of our world. Everywhere I go, again, in this world, I run into children of God, whether I'm in Asia, whether you are in Africa, for example, or Europe, or South America, there are millions and millions of Christians right now, today, right now, in a place like this, gathered to worship this Jesus because they have become children of God by believing in Jesus and by trusting Him. But is that the end? No. There's a last part, restoration. God will restore. God will put back to the original state, or even better than how it was, in the end, for all those who believe. Revelation 21:3-5, one of my favorite verses in all of the Bible, goes like this. I will read it in English. It's in Spanish and Korean. Now the dwelling place of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. So God will restore, put back everything the way they were, and even better. Remember the movie Beauty and the Beast again. At the end, the Beast dies having loved Belle. And with the kiss of Belle and the love in his heart, what happens to him? He gets restored, doesn't he? He gets back to being the beautiful prince that he was. But he did, and then the castle turns, and the broomstick turns into the man again, and the clock turns into the man again, right? And so the castle gets restored as well. But the beast now, the prince, is actually in a better position than before, because he has who? He has Belle as the love of his life. He has gained something even better than what he had before. And just like that, those of us who put our faith and trust in Jesus, not only God will restore everything back to the way Adam and Eve had it before the fall, but we will have the love of our life. We will have God. We will have His Son, Jesus, to have fellowship and to have friendship and to have an intimate relationship with for the rest of our eternal life. And that is the blissful condition that we'll be in for those of us who believe. And that is the story of God. Imagine a world where there is no crying, no goodbyes, no more worries about bills, no more worries about health, no more medical insurance stuff or tax stuff that we gotta do, right? Forever and ever in that blissful state. And that is what God promises us for those of us who put our faith and trust in Jesus. So, 2018, April 1st, right? Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday. Would you put your faith in Jesus Christ? Would you trust this Jesus to change your life? And from this point on, that you will live for Him, that you will live according to what He says, and see if it will not go better for you. And trust Him for your children. Trust Him for your finances. Trust Him for your houses or bills. Trust Him for your jobs. Pray to Him. And I would love for you to join us. If you don't have a home church that you go to, I would love for you to join us. Come, become part of us. We are multi-ethnic. We are very diverse. We would love to grow, right? Love to put our hands around you, embrace you, and love you as brother and sister in the Lord and grow together. Can I end with prayer, please?